The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. Got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat and blood and tears and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Welcome to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. We are glad you've joined us for this Monday broadcast. Dr. White is walking through the New Testament book of James in a series he is calling Shoe Leather Theology. James wrote a letter that is practical to the core, dealing with a rough and tumble reality of the Christian life. Before Dr. White begins, let me remind you that if you miss any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it and all of our archives at randywhiteministries.org. Just look for the Listen Online page. There you will also learn about our special free offer of the month, which I'll mention later in the broadcast. But now, here's Dr. White to introduce today's teaching.
Well, this is Randy White, and I am so excited this morning because we are introducing a brand new series. I'm calling it Shoe Leather Theology. That's right, Shoe Leather Theology, and we're going to take the New Testament book of James, and we're going to walk through it chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph, page by page, word by word. I am so convinced that you are going to find some phenomenal material in this wonderful book of James. Isn't James the most practical of all the New Testament books? I mean, James comes right down where the water hits the wheel, doesn't it? He comes down and he is in your face. He is cut and dried. He is clear as all get out. And I just love opening that book of James and applying it to my life and to the lives of believers because it is so practical. Over these next few weeks, we'll be looking at issues like how do you handle trials in life? Or how do you handle temptations that come into your life? What about the debate that comes from the book of James that talks about works and faith? Not by faith alone, but works have to come in. We're going to wrestle with that debate and come to some conclusions on it. And we're going to deal with that very practical issue of controlling the tongue. And another practical issue is that of conflict. You ever been in a conflict in your church or in your home or in your business? Well, James gives some real practical shoe leather theology about controlling the tongue and conflict and even things like arrogance and how to handle our wealth and some warnings to the riches. Well, how about James's comment on being patient? We're going to look at those words where James says, hey, don't just say you're going to go from here to here, there, here one place today and another place tomorrow, places to go, people to see. All of these issues that James brings up that are so important to how we live our daily life. So as we journey, I want you just to put on some old shoes and let's go down the road together. And in those comfortable shoes, let's dive in to this shoe leather theology from the book of James. Today we'll be looking at when trials come. Now let me tell you that you can get any one of these sermons. You know, this one sermon on when trial comes will take us 3 days to broadcast because it just doesn't fit in one 25-minute broadcast. And so We'll break it up, but if you'd like it together on one CD, you can always call us and just request the CD when trials come, and we'll be happy to send it to you for $5. Or if you'd like the entire series, there's 12 sermons altogether, any donation, you pick the price, and we'll send you this series from the book of James. We'll give you information on how to contact us as we go. But right now, let's get into today's very important topic from James chapter 1, and we're going to see about taking responsibility for your trials. I'd like you to turn to James, the Epistle of James. In the letter of James, the Epistle of James, I want us to speak this morning about when trials come. When trials come. And I begin today a series of sermons in which we will walk together, page by page, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, sometimes even word by word, in the words that are given to us from James. We'll look more at his identity as we progress, but for now, let's just suffice it to say that James was the half-brother of our Lord. He was the son of Joseph, and the half-brother of our Lord comes as one who was a skeptic to begin with. He challenged Jesus even on this earth. It was only after the resurrection of Jesus Christ that James believed the message and received the Lord as his Savior and as his Lord. And then after the death of another James, James the brother of John, this James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And as he began to lead the church in Jerusalem, there had already become some persecution that was on the church that was heavy upon them, was challenging for them. And having this persecution, many of those believers in that church decided it was time to move on to another place. And so they began to move. Some of them moved to Athens. Some of them moved to Thessalonica, some of them moved to Ephesus, some of them moved to Rome. They were scattered about. And James, the pastor of this now scattered church, writes a letter to those of his church members who are dispersed throughout. His church members were Jews. They were Jewish believers, much like James. And he writes to them, James chapter 1, verse 1, he says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Now, dispersed abroad, they are Jews of the dispersion, Christian Jews of the dispersion, and they didn't go there for opportunity's sake. They went there to save their life. They didn't go there because there was a business venture which might go well if they moved to Athens or Thessalonica or Ephesus or Rome. They moved out away from their homeland and the city they loved and the city of their forefathers because their lives were at risk. In fact, already some of their fellow brethren in the new church had lost their lives, and so they were fleeing. And so he sends these fleeing believers, he sends them greetings, but then he gives a word of responsibility right at the beginning. Why did they get out of there? They got out of there for trouble's sake. They got out of there because they were under a trial, a time of tribulation, a time of testing. They had to run. And so the first word he speaks in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. When trials come, it's the topic of today's sermon. I'm convinced that when they opened that letter, they must have been encouraged already from the beginning. Greetings, their pastor says. I know that you are far away from home, not on a vacation, not on a new venture, but hoping to hold on to your life. And here's what I want you to do. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Their pastor sends them a letter and they are encouraged. They're encouraged because they say he knows.
He understands. He knows that we hadn't just fled him in a moment of his need, but he understands what was behind it all, and he gives us an instruction. In fact, it's a responsibility that he gives in verses 2, 3, and 4. And he begins to share this responsibility that now is theirs as they are under the trial. And the first word he uses in their responsibility is the word consider. Consider what? Consider it all joy. Consider what a joy. Consider these trials, this process in which you're in. Consider trials a joy is the word that comes. I want us to consider for a moment the word consider, because it's a strong word, a powerful word that comes right from the beginning, and we need to consider what consider means. To do so, back up just a page in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Consider it all joy. What does consider mean? Hebrews 13, 7 says this. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. You see the word consider there, don't you? You think you do. You're probably mistaken at this point because you're reading English and not Greek. Let's follow along. We'll see it again in verse 17. Obey your leaders, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. You see the word consider there, do you not? Well, perhaps you don't because you're reading in English and not in Greek, but it's there. You can go down to verse 24 of that same chapter where he says, greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. See the word consider there, don't you? Well, you would if you were reading in Greek. You'd see that word we have in our text where he says, consider it all joy. The word is hegemai, hegemai. And back in Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 7, he says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct. But that considering the result is not the word hegemai. The word hegemai has already come. It's in that word led. Those who led you. In verse 17, obey your leaders. In verse 24, greet all your leaders. Now, the point is this. That word hegemai is a lot more than a thinking word. The word hegemai is a power word. It's a leadership word. It's a word of strength and muscle that comes along with it. And so I want you to consider some strength to the word consider. I don't think he's just saying, let your mind think about it this way, because that doesn't have much strength, does it? You know, sometimes we try to think of the glass as half full instead of half empty, you know, in our mind we're playing these mind games to make something happen. But this is a strong word. It is a word of leadership. And here's what I believe that James is telling us as he is instructing us about the trials that we're in. He says, I want you to take some leadership. Hegemai. We use it every now and then in English. We'll talk about a hegemony. And we don't use it very often, but a hegemony is when one nation has or exerts some leadership into another nation. That's a hegemony. Now, here he says, I want part of your mind to take leadership here. And I want it to lead in such a way that you would take it as a joy when you encounter various trials. So, consider, provide some leadership here in your mind. Isn't it amazing how we can take control of our mind? Consider.
Dr. White will be back in just a moment to continue these thoughts from his series, Shoe Leather Theology. We will send you the entire series of sermons, uninterrupted and unedited for time, for any donation you can give to our ministry. Our current free offer is Dr. White's sermon, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We will send it to you totally free of charge, just for joining our mailing list. Dr. White is a committed supporter of Israel, and he thinks you should be too. This sermon will explain biblical reasons for pro-Israel Christian activity. Contact us today at our toll-free number to request this CD or to make a donation to receive the complete series from the Book of James. The number is 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. That is 1-855-437-9448. You can also get this offer at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to Dr. White's teaching.
Well, so far today, we've been talking about we're taking control of our mind. When you encounter these various trials, consider it all joy. Consider, that's an action word. It's a power word to take control of your thinking. I am convinced that you can do that. I'm convinced that I can do that, not in a new age kind of way, not in a mind over matter kind of way, but in the kind of way that says I can let the mind of Christ be in me. I can let the mind of Christ think for me. So as we come back into today's sermon here in just a moment, we take these matters of the trials that come our way, and how are we going to respond? It's so easy for us to respond in a negative manner, isn't it? It is so easy for us to say doom and gloom and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Doom and gloom and agony on me. Well, if that's your attitude when various trials comes, then you're sinning, my friend. You're not where the Lord would have you to be, because His very clear instruction to us in this shoe leather theology is consider it all joy. Now, I want us in this next bit of the sermon to talk about these words. When you encounter various trials, it might be that you've already encountered one today. It might be that God has prepared this message for you. And so let's join back together into the sermon and let's talk about when you encounter various trials.
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter. Now, encounter is a strong word, too. And you and I use the English word encounter. Sometimes it's almost an accidental word. We just meander upon. We're tiptoeing through the tulips, and we encountered a bumblebee. But This is a stronger word here. In fact, you see it in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, when he says, there was a man who went down to Jericho, and on his way, he fell among thieves. He fell among robbers. That word fell is this word for encounter. There's another time it's used, and that's in Acts chapter 27, verse 41. And there in this scripture, it says that Paul, who was on a ship at the time, who was on a ship in the middle of a storm, they were doing everything they could do to try to save the ship. And it said that the ship ran aground over a reef. It struck a reef. Now, that's a strong word, isn't it? It's tough. It's not that the ship drifted lightly until it came upon a bank. No, it struck the reef. And one end of that ship got stuck in the reef. The scripture says the waves were blowing it about, and it began to tear that ship up because one end was moving and the other end wasn't, and that wasn't a good mix for that ship. And the ship began to fall apart. Now, when he says, when you encounter various trials, he's saying that thing came upon you and it attacked you like a robber. That thing came upon you and it was like being your ship being blown aground into a reef and caught there and fixed there and it couldn't get out. And there you have fallen upon robbers, or you have struck the reef, and that's the experience that is yours. Now, I think that's the experience that was the experience of these Jewish believers. They'd lived all their life, maybe a generation, two generations, maybe back since Cyrus had allowed the return of the exiles from Babylon. Their family came back there, and this was their home. This was the place they loved. This was the family of their patriarchs. But they encountered a trial. It came upon them like a robber coming upon on an innocent bystander who's walking along the way. It came upon them like a reef that a ship is blown upon. They encountered those various trials. I think some of you have been there, haven't you? You were meandering. But the trial that is yours came upon you suddenly, and it came upon you with strength, and you could be overwhelmed by it. But here, the scripture says, take some leadership in the matter. And make sure that you consider this shipwreck that has been yours, this thief that has come upon you, make sure you consider it a joy. A joy. Consider it all joy. When you fall upon the thieves, you come upon the waves.
for these various trials. But he says not only to consider it a joy, that's our responsibility, but how are we going to do that? We do that by considering the end result. He really doesn't say consider the trial a joy. Here we come to the word trials, various trials. I think he's speaking here of the persecution that was theirs, was their various trial, but the word also could be used for temptation. It's often translated temptation. And so when a temptation or a trial or a testing of any shade comes upon you, he doesn't say consider that trial or that temptation a joy. It's the end result that we consider a joy. You don't celebrate the fact that you're tempted, do you? You don't celebrate the fact that you've been shipwrecked. You don't see it as a joy, the fact that robbers have come upon you. But you're able to consider it all a joy. When you consider the whole package, you consider the end result. And so he goes on in verse 3, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. There's an end result that we're looking for as we have this trial. The trial comes, and the trial brings about a testing. Now, it's not the trial that we're to consider a joy. I don't think when that thief came upon robbers, he said, oh, praise the Lord, this is going to be a wonderful day. Even Paul, when he was shipwrecked, he didn't say, now this is the best thing that's happened to us all month long. No. When that comes upon you, you don't look at that as a joy. And I think some people try to misinterpret this scripture and say that the trial itself is a joy. No, not at all. In fact, Paul encountered a trial in his life when he had a thorn in the flesh. And you remember what he said? Lord, if there's any way to get this thing out of me, I pray you would. I ask you to remove this thorn in the flesh. It is not a joy. But he learned something through it. He encountered something through it. He learned some endurance through it. And that whole thing was a great joy to him.
We have a responsibility to consider it a joy when we encounter various trials. And we're going to pick up here tomorrow and continue to talk about the process that begins. But I don't want to leave you hanging right here. I want you to know that the trial is not the joy. Now, we are to consider the encountering of the trial as a joy, but don't get mixed up and think, boy, every trial that comes along is a joy for me. No, a trial is not a joy. A trial's a trial, isn't it? A trial is a pain. A trial is a difficulty. A trial is a challenge, and you wish that wasn't there. You remember when Paul the Apostle had the thorn in the flesh, and he wanted that thorn gone. And yet the process that thorn brought into his life caused him to take joy in it. We're going to put these together as we continue on tomorrow and learn that trials are not joyful. What's your trial today? You stuck in traffic, maybe? Your world just collapsing in on you financially or in a relationship that's yours? You came to the radio or to the internet today to find a word of encouragement, and God led you to this broadcast. I hope that today you will begin to consider it a joy, but your trial is not joyful. But, friend, the result of the trial, the result of the process that you are beginning to go through, or you're in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death even right now, the result of the trial can be something that God wants to work in and work out of your life. Consider it all a joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I hope you'll get today's sermon on CD or get this entire series. Our host in just a moment will give you all the details you need. And as you consider and encounter your various trials today, consider it joy. God bless you. Until tomorrow, I'm Randy White.
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. But before we go, let me remind you to call today and request Dr. White's free sermon CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. I'll give the number in just a moment. We would also love to send you the entire series of sermons from this series, Shoe Leather Theology. You will be strengthened in your everyday faith by being able to listen to the sermons uninterrupted and unedited for time. We can send these to you when you give a donation of any size. Now, there are several ways to contact us to request the free Zionist CD or the Shoeleather Theology Series. The easiest is to just call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. You can also go to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. We look forward to hearing from you today.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
And this is Dr. Randy White. Welcome to a new week at friendofzion.com. I hope not only are you praying for the peace of Jerusalem, but I hope you're working and speaking and acting for the peace of Jerusalem. At Friend of Zion this summer, we're taking a special offering for Leket Israel. Leket is the Hebrew word for gleaning. Maybe there's a little extra around the corner of your fields. That is, around the corner of your bank account that you'd say, I would give that for the feeding of hungry Israelis. If you'd like to give to this Leket Israel offering, go to friendofzion.com and there you'll see the donate button. 100% will go to Leket Israel to help feed the poor. Now in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7, there's a fabulous one verse of scripture that I think gives us an outline of the remnant of Israel. This verse says, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. Such a simple little instruction that I think gives us, once again, the outline of the progress of the remnant of Israel. And here it is. Number one, the Jewish people will begin to walk in my ways and perform my service. That's one of the things that we see already happening among the Jewish people. Though they went back into the land, really as secular Jews, something strange is happening. Something not so strange if you read the pages of Scripture. And that is, Jewish people are falling in love with Judaism. Friend, even though we're Christians, this is a good thing. They're walking in my ways and performing my service. That's the first step. Now, when we continue tomorrow, we'll pick up right there and talk about what happens from here. Heavenly Father, it's encouraging for us to see a revival of Judaism. Not because we believe that there's any salvation in Judaism, but because we believe that this is the pattern that Scripture has placed, that first, your people, before they return to you and to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, first they're going to have a revival of Judaism. And so, when we see this today, we rejoice that your word is coming true. And so today, Heavenly Father, our prayer is for the peace of Jerusalem, that you would begin to do a fabulous, marvelous, even saving work among your people Israel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Dr. Randy White, and this is friendofzion.com. Why don't you go to our website and give a generous gift today to Leket Israel.